Revitalizing national programming. Pacifica Network has a unique opportunity at this time in history to make a positive change, seizing on the widespread democratic participation and political engagement of the masses. We can take a visible national stand by developing a new nationally syndicated investigative news magazine that complements Democracy Now! Together, the stations are ready to take the lead in developing this new program for national and international distribution. Why should Pacifica prioritize content development for national distribution? What do we know about Democracy Now! In particular and national programs in general that can inform our decision-making process? National programs in general and Democracy Now! In particular generate the most tune-in rate at each station and highest time spent listening, key to developing loyalty and support. They generate revenue that is at least twice as much as what they cost to produce or acquire, are the most distributed programs generating revenue for stations in the network through the fee-for-service or program distribution. Democracy Now! And FSRN are the main reason stations affiliate with Pacifica. They are also... Is that for you or me? Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. Can I ask that everyone turn their phones on vibrate or off?
So again, national programs in general and Democracy Now! In particular also are the programs most downloaded, are the programs that most brand Pacifica and unify as a network, and brand us as a credible media institution on a national scale. The 2006 affiliate survey concluded affiliate stations' number one request was for more investigative news programs like Democracy Now! The advantages derived from nationally syndicated programs like Democracy Now!, audience, revenue, and a credible brand are also enjoyed by our sister affiliates across the nation. Democracy Now! Was, as we remember, developed as a local program at WBAI. We need to maintain and expand our national impact both to fulfill our mission and to ensure the success of our long-term goals of providing service to communities that are underserved by public media. What else do we know about current opportunities we can and need to utilize in order to remain relevant in the long run? The nation is engaged in national politics like no other time in recent history. The new administration has energized people to engage politically, especially younger people aged 20 to 40 who may not be activists and may not yet have been a target audience for us. There's a lack of news and public affairs content produced and distributed by public media with an age 20 to 40 as a target audience. The age 20 to 40 target audience is likely to respond well to advanced Pacifica website pushing new media in the new ways. Both the new audience and the new website will result in increased revenues for the network. The action in terms of what we've laid out. Develop national programming for affiliate and international distribution. Revitalization of programming is but one part of the activities needed to move Pacifica to the next level, but is treated here with greater detail because of our belief in its importance in the grand scheme. We intend to develop a new national program by late spring 2009. We believe this programming is necessary in order to brand or rebrand Pacifica as a network, provide program time to advance the Pacifica mission, provide additional quality program for the units, increase listenership and support, and create opportunity for joint promotional activities. For the purpose of creating such programming, we have identified a nationally recognized local accessible host, or we're going to be doing that. We have identified some of them. And as a working model, as a theoretical model, we've created 467 East West Central as an idea, as something to consider. Again, this is something that we're going to use as a tool to continue to assess our challenges, where we can cooperate, where we can work together. So creation of this hypothetical potential model allowed us to work through the obstacles and opportunities inherent in bringing our units together. This is something that we spoke about in Berkeley when all five general managers and the Pacifica Archives director met. Some of the obstacles might include differences in time zone, resistance to imposition of outside decision-making, market differences, conflict with current schedule needs or strengths. On the other hand, potentials to be realized include establishment of co-working structures which are available for future projects, improved programming through pooling of resources, opportunities for shared promotional activities, manifestation of cohesive national identity, creation of a national virtual neighborhood of activists, increased local awareness of sister unit activities, additional solidification of the national programming identity currently borne almost exclusively by Democracy Now! And FSRN, potential for program funding and listener support. 467 East West Central could have a consistent production format, 5 days per week production each by a specific unit, nationally known hosts each chosen by the unit producing that weekday, standard highly produced openings and closings, standardized bumpers, music and themes, consistent breaks, Pacifica-related information segments. As mentioned, 467 is a working model for identification of problems and potentials. Other potential national programming opportunities are being identified and may include, and they already do at KPFK and A, letters from Washington, the first 100 days of the Barack Obama administration, and Al Jazeera English News. In all cases, national programming decisions must be moderated to have the least negative impact on local program time while providing the greatest possible potential for improved listenership and increased resources. So again, increasing listenership is important to actualizing our mission. That's obvious. Increasing listener loyalty by keeping people tuned in longer. The longer people stay tuned in, the more time spent listening with us, the more likely their loyalty goes up. Listener loyalty is the reason people become listener sponsors. Without their loyalty, it doesn't work. So, keeping people tuned in as much as possible is going to increase listener loyalty, and listener loyalty will ultimately create listener sponsors, which will then fund the network. Finally, outreach is important. Let's say that we use this roadmap that we've currently outlined, and we begin to do some of these things that we believe are going to increase listenership and listener loyalty. Once programming has been redeveloped and consistency and quality enhanced, the final step to increasing listenership and listener loyalty is outreach. This process should include targeting key audiences and developing ways to reach them in the most cost-effective and impactful ways. Pacifica should utilize Radio Research Consortium. They are the middleman between public radio and Arbitron. They crunch the numbers for us, and they give us a good deal on our survey information. Development Exchange, Inc., and other radio analysis groups to assess market share and Pacifica's audience potential within the five terrestrial radio markets, all affiliates markets, and international online markets. A target for audience growth can be determined from this data and analysis, giving the network clear benchmarks for outreach. With benchmarks in place, once we have an idea of what we want to do, how many people potentially we can reach, Pacifica is ready to partner with cultural, political, and other media outlets to market to targeted audiences. The creation of an interactive, multifaceted program that gives potential listeners an opportunity to engage Pacifica is the most effective way to recruit listeners, create loyalty, and further the mission. The Pacifica Radio Archives' newly launched campus campaign is a shining example. It's a perfect instrument of the Pacifica mission, bringing together brilliant content, good radio, goodwill, education, and an outstanding opportunity to brand and market the network and its tremendous value. It also gives a listener an excellent opportunity to participate with Pacifica in actualizing Lou Hill's vision. So again, I think the campus campaign, and I know the other directors believe the same, that that is a perfect example of what Pacifica can do and what it does best. And that can be a model for various ways to do outreach and engage our listeners in all levels of what we do. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Lem Riggio of KPFA, our development expert. And she's going to tell us a little bit about the first section. So once we've identified what we need to do with listeners, how we're going to reach them, how we're going to improve our service, how we're going to increase listener loyalty, get them ready to support the network, then it's time to put in place best practices for public radio development.
Thank you, Sean. That was good. Thank you so much. And thank you, Brian, also, for starting it right.
You are remembering the tone, right? Archives, tone.
That's right. Yeah. 2008.
All right. Shoot.
Thank you again for offering us this opportunity to get together to work on some of the challenges, identify opportunities, and come to you with a presentation. So where Sean left it off in terms of listener loyalty, where we some of the challenges we've also identified are not only are we lacking listeners, not only are listeners listening less and less to our programming, but those who are listening, we are not maximizing on how to get them to support the stations, the archives, and the foundation financially. So some of what we have outlined here are practices that some of them are practices that are already employed at a station or a couple of stations at the archives. Some of them are practices that we'd like to employ moving forward. In assessing our on-air fundraising, while on-air fundraising strategy has been successful, raising $1 million in 3 weeks, 2 weeks at KPFK, raising $900,000 at KPFA, those are very impressive numbers when you compare them to local NPR stations that are much larger than us. I'm always amazed at KQED's goals because their goals are usually less than twice as much as ours, and yet their listenership is six times bigger than ours, and they take underwriting. And they don't meet their goals, and we do. So there's something to be said there. There are enough people who are willing to invest in our work financially. But given how we have been fundraising for as long as I know, we are oversaturating those same people, and we're not diversifying the way we raise money. And we think if we diversify the way we raise money, we acquire resources. If we use our pool of donors as loyal listeners who are capable of giving at different levels and do targeted fundraising. So those who are able to leave us their assets, we develop a specific fundraising target. Those who are not yet members and would like to join us, we have a specific different appeal and fundraising target. And those are the developments we'd like to see and grow because currently over 80% of our revenue is raised on air. And as we all know, on-air fund drives, they have been successful, and yet we've had to increase the number of days we are on the air fundraising across the network from 11 days to we went up to 15 to 17 to 19, 20, up to 25, 30 days. And when that happens, listeners tune out. People are willing to listen to our fundraising pitches. They're mainly tuning in for programming. They want it to be quick. They want it to be focused. They want to contribute and get back to regular programming. At KPFA, we've been very strict about ending on time, whether the goal is met or not, except for a couple of exceptions. We've had to make the extent maybe a few hours up to a day. And we pitch that. We pitch the fact that we never extend our programming. We talk to our listeners about how we respect them and their time, and we won't inundate them with endless fundraising. And we want, but yet we have to fundraise because we accept no underwriting, which is something we're very proud of and stand on. And when we're able to communicate our position in terms of, you know, maintaining independent funding, maintaining individual funding, and our position in terms of focusing on programming instead of fundraising, they respond. And we've been able to make our goals without extensions. So this three-year plan addresses ways to maximize the productivity of our on-air fund drives as well and the efficiencies. A quick assessment of off-air fundraising. As of fiscal 2008, Pacifica has not maximized its off-air fundraising potential. In the past, Pacifica as a whole has received over 80% of its funding through on-air drives and less than 20% from off-air fundraising efforts, mainly major gifts, foundation grants, web fundraising, mail fundraising, and events. To help offset on-air fundraising dependency, this three-year plan focuses on creating diverse fundraising strategies that can achieve at least three goals. Streamline on-air fundraising and expand off-air fundraising, generate increased revenue for the foundation, and create sustainable revenue management plan. Financial management. The following pages elaborate on the various methods that can be employed to expand revenue. However, it should be made clear that there are units that lack infrastructural capacity in membership and development. At KPFA, we have a very strong development department. It's well-staffed, and therefore we're able to plan and execute campaigns more efficiently than if we didn't have a department that was staffed and was able to expand fundraising. I understand at WBAI there may be lack of capacity. I understand actually across the network there is definite lack of capacity in infrastructure in development. And successful stations like KCRW is a good example because they're in FunDrive and we were just talking about them, have very robust development departments. You know, if programming is one pillar of a successful station, then development is the other one. And development and programming are completely intertwined. Fundraising is programming. Programming is supported by fundraising. On-air fundraising. We would like to create efficiency and economies off scale with on-air fund drives. We'd like to expand on-air fundraising methods, and we have begun experimenting with some methods. At KPFK, in December, I heard Sean in his report yesterday talk about the collaboration they did with Food Not Bombs and a drive that was to raise funds for KPFK as well as provide meals for the needy. So that was a very brilliant idea, which I'm still mad that we didn't jump on and do with KPFK. But as we share ideas and come together, this is how a network is built. So next time around, we're going to collaborate on those types of new strategies that may be happening at individual units. Focus on air drives on precise themes, which is a good example is what happened at KPFK. At KPFA, when the bailout news broke and everything was about bailout, we decided to have a bailout drive. And we called it the Bye Bye Bush Bailout KPFA Drive. And it was a one... It was a one-day drive. It was tremendously successful. We also raised close to $60,000 in just one day. It was fun. Most importantly, it was fun. People were listening, calling, you know, tuned in, because it's entertaining, it's engaging, but we were also providing, you know, the programming, what we were broadcasting wasn't lightweight. What we were broadcasting was what we normally do, which is highly critical and radical programming. So these are just some strategies we're trying out to see how they work, and so we can employ them across the board and do more of them. Develop more collaborations, develop thank you gifts in-house, and utilizing the Pacific Area Radio Archives more. The Pacific Area Radio Archives provides us with jewels, like materials that we can basically just take to the air and people come in droves for them. And yet, because the Pacific Area Radio Archives is not a premium production facility, there's also a limitation in capacity there, so they're only able to do so much. But if we were to develop that and expand on it, we would first keep our finances in-house. We wouldn't have to buy from others to acquire thank you gifts. And we would be distributing our legacy. So it serves us in so many, on many levels, that it's something that we need to prioritize. And we feel confident that we'd be successful. Reduce back-end expenses with better coordination and consolidation. Those would be, an example would be thank you gifts, maybe some services that we do for caging, etc. This, I'm getting into too much detail, but basically consolidating some of our expenses that we now individually contract with others, and there could be savings there. Increasing pledge fulfillment and retention of members. And I also heard Sean talk about that in great length yesterday. And that's key. I'm not sure how it is across the network with sister stations. But at KPFA, we have it fluctuates between 60-65% retention rate. And we know we can do a lot better. Our fulfillment is 88, 89. It fluctuates between 88 and 90%. And I was walking around thinking we have the most fantastic fulfillment rate, until Sean told me a few weeks ago that at his previous station they used to have a 97% fulfillment rate. So more work cut out for me, which is great. Which is great. It's good to know. It's the thing about challenges is, I mean, if you identify a challenge and you see no way out, it's one thing. But when you identify a challenge and you see tremendous potential, like, oh, we have a lot of room to grow. So it's good news. But again, you know, increasing fulfillment, increasing retention is requires expertise, it requires planning, it requires implementation. It means you have to contract with phone companies to make calls for you to 20,000 people and actually bring you a decent return. It means you have to have somebody coordinating that. It means you have to have a plan. So while we'd like to do that, it's at its infancy. It's something that we're developing and working towards. Off-air revenue sources. To keep pace with escalating programming and production costs, it's important that the three-year development plan reflect a dynamic effort to diversify on-air and off-air revenue streams. Some of the following programs I'm going to speak on are designed to provide a tactical plan for implementing this strategy. Special giving opportunities, a major donor program. So a major donor program is something that would be within a programming department, within a development department. And if you have a robust, well-developed development department, you would have membership on one hand, which handles the 20,000, 25,000 members you have and how to upgrade those donors. They come in at $25. Next time around, when they renew, you want them to upgrade and you want them to renew at $60. But unless you tell them that, they're not going to do it. And the core of fundraising is, unless you ask, it doesn't come. So the way you raise funds is you ask for it. You say, we need resources. But you have to say what you need the resources for. You have to be confident about delivering those things that you're promising that you're going to deliver with the funding that you're requesting. You have to have a proven track record of doing that. And you have to have a way to implement it. So if you have no staff to do a major donor campaign, there's no purpose in having a major developing a major donor program as a plan. So with this comes just like programming, but I think more heavily with development, it requires some investment, and that can be scaled based on what's available. So a major donor program, for example, at KPFA, is managed by me. It's not, we don't have the capacity to hire a major gifts officer who would focus on 300-400 people who are able to give at a certain level in getting, you know, developing planned giving campaigns, executing them, acquiring people, connecting them with attorneys, actually doing the work. It's a very tedious, highly labor-intensive work, but it pays off. And I have a great story that I'd like to share, which ties all of this, and especially what Brian referred to in terms of legacy. Recently, actually 2 years ago, KPFA and Pacifica were awarded an asset, someone named Heath and Brian, Edith and Brian Heath left Pacifica and KPFA $750,000 from their assets. This was in their trust. The trustee who take over settling their estate and assets contacted us and let us know and their attorneys. This was as a result of a campaign that was conducted, I believe, 10 years ago for KPFA's 50th anniversary. KPFA and Pacifica's 50th anniversary. There were some issues with the property. It took a couple of years for it to sell and for us to get the checks. And we were invited to come to their place so they can present us with the checks and give us some gifts. And when we went, the trustee wanted to tell the story of how this came about and how she became the trustee of this tremendous gift. And she said when she was a kid, I think she's a friend, a daughter of a friend's. And when she was young, these are ceramicists. This is a woman who works with, who does pottery. She said in her workspace, KPFA was always on. And when she had a conversation with her about settling her assets and making sure that KPFA and Pacifica got this money, she wanted to make sure that she understood that regardless of what happens, how it's settled, KPFA and Pacifica must get this money. And she asked, why are KPFA and Pacifica so important to you? Why is Pacifica so important to you? And the woman said, because Pacifica was the only media institution that that stood up to McCarthyism. And she mentioned HUAC. So we're reaping the benefits today of programming and vision that was employed 50 years ago, and it's all at the archives. We can actually we sent them a gift of what we what she was referring to in terms of the programming, so that the trustee can also become a supporter, and we can continue the cycle. So this is why a major donor program is important. Planned giving is also part of major donor, and what I just referred to falls under planned giving. Did I skip anything? I think I covered it. One part that I'd like to emphasize. An important component of a major donor program is the inclusion of our major donors in public events and activities as a means of acknowledging their important contributions. The Peace Awards, which is something we do at KPFA, is an event we started specifically to enhance our major giving department and major giving program. Sure. This is not related. But... And Brian is going to pass out the program from our most recent Peace Awards, which was the fifth one. When I joined KPFA in 2004, I joined KPFA as a development director. And as a development director, you want strategy so you can raise funds. And when I realized that we didn't have a signature, we have a signature event, which is the Crafts, Arts, and Music Fair, but we didn't have an event where we could cultivate for major gifts and we can solicit for major gifts. So I went to Jim Bennett, who was the general manager at the time, and I said, Jim, why don't we do a Peace Awards? KPFA should give out Peace Awards. And he said, sounds good to me. And I contacted a couple of donors, pitched them the idea, asked them if they would be willing to get it started by making a multi-year pledge. Three people did. Three people made a $5,000 a year, three-year pledge. And paid their first year, so we were able to start it. And it's we just had the fifth one, which is being passed on, which is great. But to ensure that the major donor program continues to grow, it's important that the major donors are contacted regularly throughout the year, are invited to special events, are recognized, are met with individually, are educated about the direction and programming development of the radio stations and the foundation in general. The development plan involves board members in recruiting major donors. And at successful nonprofit organizations, board members play a big role in recruiting major donors, in identifying them, in talking to them, in meeting with them. Because the board has a lot of weight. And when people make large cash gifts or they want to leave their assets to an organization, they want to be confident that there is a structure that is going to be able to administer the finances properly, that their wishes will be respected and the funds will be used for the purposes that they wish, etc. So it's important for, as you're thinking about, as we're all coming together to find ways to stabilize but also grow, you have to consider playing this a role in fundraising, and especially in major gifts fundraising. Pacifica has had a planned giving program for a number of years, as we just heard from Edith Heath. However, the planned giving program in its current form needs to be strengthened. As part of the three-year development plan, it suggested that the planned giving program be strengthened in concert with the major gifts program, which focuses on major cash gifts, direct mailing, and off-air fundraising programs. A well-designed planned giving program can play a crucial role in ensuring Pacifica's long-term sustainability and financial security. In order to strengthen the planned giving program, the plan has to focus on cultivating life income gifts. Those are bequests, pooled income gift funds, and charitable remainder trusts. We envision that by increasing these specialized forms of giving over the three-year development plan period, they can become a reliable source of future revenue for Pacifica. From a fundraising perspective, marketing and soliciting bequests has distinct advantages over marketing other forms of planned gifts. In our experience, we found this to be the case because the prospective donor is familiar with the concept of making a gift through his or her will. Additionally, donors seem to be more comfortable discussing significant gifts of capital when the gifts are realized after the donor's death rather than giving away during his or her lifetime. Thus, by initially focusing on life income gifts, and we believe Pacifica's planned giving program can accomplish two goals. First, we will be able to uncover future sources of revenue for Pacifica. And second, we'll be able to create a pool of prospects for future life income gifts that we can begin to cultivate for future gifts. Strengthening Pacifica's planned giving program will help us maximize our fundraising potential. The third is web fundraising program. The internet provides a number of relatively low-cost communication opportunities that are still underutilized by Pacifica. For example, the cost of conducting what has come to be known as e-campaign that is utilizing Pacifica's website and listener emails to solicit financial support could perhaps be more cost-effective than direct mail campaigns. This is not to say that we shouldn't do direct mail campaigns. This is to say along direct mail campaigns, we should also be doing e-campaigns on the internet because they're extremely cost-effective. At the same time, they are not, in terms of raising revenue, they are not as effective as direct mail campaigns. And so we have to use both. The initial step of the three-year development plan, it's imperative that the Pacifica website be redesigned with the following in mind. And this goes back to what Sean referred to in terms of outreach and using the Pacifica Radio Archives model of creating an internet hub. This would diversify listenership. It would expand the pool of potential donors. It would increase revenue through online fundraising, including an online store and online advertisements, perhaps, and creation of more cost-effective fundraising campaigns. Additional revenue streams include foundation grant solicitation program, and as you can see, the plan outlines all the steps one must follow to go from seeking to acquiring grants. And the last one is public events. I'm sorry, not the last. The one before last is public events. Good fundraising includes more than just increasing revenue streams, and this is key for us as staff to always remember and remind our staff, as managers, remind our staff, and for the board to remember. The key is raising donors. The key is not raising funds. First, you raise the donors. Once you have the donors, you can raise all kinds of funds from them. And this is where having interactive websites or doing outreach, having events where you can meet people, they can see who is who and what is done, and you can actually cultivate and develop relationships with them. Good fundraising includes more than just increasing revenue streams. In fact, if that's all it does, it may not truly be a success in the long run. Public events are essential to off-air fundraising because they provide more benefits than just increasing the bottom line. They also communicate image and information about Pacifica and its affiliated projects to the public. Naomi Klein calls this form of image-making branding. Branding is tangible and real. If it's done well, socially conscious branding is worth more than the money because it includes additional benefits such as publicity, image, contact with people, credibility, education, motivation, increased commitment, and good community relations. Public events have always played an important role in Pacifica fundraising strategy. And this three-year plan, they will continue to be a source of imaging and revenue building. And finally, direct mail solicitation. Direct mail solicitation can be done in a cost-effective way. It's usually pricey because of printing and postage cost. But it's the most... next to on-air fundraising, the most viable way of renewing members. At KPFA, at the end of the 10th month, when someone's membership is about to expire, two more months to go before it expires, we send them a reminder. Your membership will be expiring in a few weeks. Last year, you supported us by donating $25. This year, we'd like to ask you to upgrade that to $50. Thank you for your continued support, etc. If they don't respond, we mail them again the following month. Say, only a couple days left now, this is your last chance. If they don't respond, we wait 1 month, and then we contact them 1 month later. Your membership lapsed a month ago. We'd like you to come back. And those are very targeted messages. And if they don't come back, we wait a few more months, about 6 months, and then we call them and say... don't you want to come back? What happened? We're missing you. And we have most of them return. So this is a way to increase retention. It's all tied. Indirect mail solicitations help identify new donors. They are a tool for public relations. They increase Pacifica's visibility and publicize new programs, and they help identify potential volunteers.
How much more time would you need?
I'm done.
You're done.
That
Excellent.
Was it.
Okay. Questions?
We'd like to close. We'd like to close.
I have like a 30-second closing.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to read it from here, even though I've probably memorized this. Pacifica's challenges cannot be solved one unit at a time, but rather through a cooperative effort by all network departments. It is possible to increase listenership, listener loyalty, and funding with the purpose of further actualizing the mission. This requires the sharing of resources, ideas, and solutions. Envisioning Pacifica as a true network of devoted and cooperative team members is a step in the correct direction. The second step includes empowering and trusting identified Pacifica team members to assist with the coordination of intra-network department communications. With counterparts from various units working together on problem-solving, cost reductions, generating revenue, and so forth, efficiency and productivity should rise. With the increase in efficiency and productivity, Pacifica can begin to revitalize its mission and its effectiveness. It would be extremely beneficial to begin the process of forming specific task forces or work groups to tackle various spheres of Pacifica's business. For instance, speaking to John the other day in the hallway, by the way, a Pacifica technical task force could be created, allowing engineering and operations staff throughout the network to teleconference weekly and discuss outstanding issues within each unit and network-wide. The expected outcome of such meetings is a better understanding of challenges at specific units and the sharing of experiences, hopefully resulting in cost reductions due to the elimination of unnecessary redundancies and inefficiencies, or the realization of best practices and creative solutions. The bottom line result could be financial savings, equipment lasting longer, and/or working more efficiently, and so on. So this is an example of a type of task force. So this model for network operation is dependent on a spirit of cooperation, unity, and ultimately trust. Pacifica is a great network built on a beautiful idea. It has yet to fully realize its mission. Together, we all can revitalize the stations, the archive, and look to new ways of engaging the world. I want to thank all of our colleagues that couldn't make it here. Dwayne Bradley of KPFT, Ron Pinchback of WPFW, and Anthony Riddle of WBAI all helped in creating this document.
Thank you all, and thank you for the presentation. Questions? Let's see. I saw just a moment. Jamie, Susan, Rico, Afia. Sean, Nia, Sherry, Leslie, Joe.
Here's some more here.
Bonnie. Okay, let's get started on that. Jamie.
Okay.
Let me ask you to be as brief as you can. We only have 20 minutes before we're supposed to go to lunch. My guess is we're probably going to go sometime into lunch with this anyway, but if you could stay listening.
Have public comment too, right?
We're going to have to put the time that was going to be for public comment here either after lunch, which we could do, or add it back to the time after the finance report. That was what we decided to do, and I think the question session is essential. I'm sorry. I really would appreciate it. I don't know what you're intending to forward by commenting like that. I'm doing the best I can. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be engaging. So anyway, we had decided that we were going to take whatever time we needed for the listener session out of this particular piece of time, which is a half an hour, which is only 20 minutes now. And I don't think it makes any sense at all not to have the question session now. We could put the listener session right after lunch for a half hour and defer the audit report and the other report for a half an hour. That is the finance report. There's another listener session scheduled for a half an hour after the finance report. We could make that an hour. So basically, what's your choice? Rico?
Could we do 15 minutes and give them 15 minutes?
We could. I have about 10 people that want to speak, if that's the preference. There's also the case that just a few people, and we have our opinion.
I'll withdraw my time.
I'll go with whatever you want to do. Just by a show of that's not an impossible idea. It's just that there'll be about three or four people speaking. We could push lunch back.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Just
start.
I'd like to
start here. Yeah, we gotta.
Okay. Sorry. Having the meeting here, having a lot of homestays, there's one slight downside to that, and that's that we do have to go out and eat lunch. To walk there is at least 7 to 10 minutes to have a choice of restaurants. I think it's important that we be allowed to eat and not have to rush back, not have to gulp down our food. I just want to ensure that we have an hour for the lunch break,
whatever
it is. I'm
not talking about taking a half hour out of lunch, just putting it back a half an hour.
Okay, that's fine.
Sherry, your suggestion.
I just think that we've just had a report. They're here on a day off. It was a vibrant report. There were hands that went up around the table. It informs the direction of the network. I just think it's important to follow this up and then have the public comment. Well, it's so disrespectful to us not to pursue this so that the public can hear the reaction of the board to what the general managers are proposing.
That's not even we're going to do that. The only question was,
where do we put the... I thought one of the suggestions was to take public comment now.
I got it.
Okay.
Rico withdrew that, so we're not going to do that. We're going to take at least till 1 o'clock, if we keep talking about it. I would suggest we move lunch back, and we leave an hour for lunch. I don't mind doing that. Is there any objection to that?
Move the agenda, Chair.
Okay, so let's... it'll just be, everything will just be displaced about a half an hour. Let's have the questions now. Jamie, you're first.
Okay. Well, I first want to thank you all very much for this plan. Obviously, you've put a lot of work into it, and thank you for presenting it to us. And I'd like to thank Sherry, I believe, who was part of the reason that facilitated you guys working together as best as I understand. I think it's very important for our GMs to work together. My understanding is one of the reasons why such changes have not happened in the past is because there's been resistance at the local stations to outside programming, but if the GMs are actually driving the process, it seems like that hurdle will be more easily solved. And I'm very glad, Sean, that you started right off with programming, because I do believe that that is something that we really have to work on, getting our best programming on the air. I do believe if we do that, we will be able to solve our financial issues. One thing that I guess needs to be worked out is, in the past, people have tried to put forward plans for other national programs. Say there's many excellent suggestions here regarding programming, and I certainly hope some, if not all of them, come to pass. But I do have to say that some of them have been put forward before, but they didn't go into practice because of, I would have to say, a certain parochialism at the station. So one thing that needs to be dealt with is, how do we really make these things happen? And I would like to say that if you need board backing to make these things happen, I'm certainly on board with helping you out there. I don't know. I think we really need to work together. I really do want to see Pacifica function as a national foundation that can produce the best programming.
Susan.
Finally, I have waited to see a strategic plan grounded in professional knowledge. Congratulations, and thank you to Sherry and the dynamics last year that led to this and the people at this table right now. We're going to be having a session on strategic planning. My recommendation is going to be that we start that discussion by saying we adopt this plan, we discuss whether that's a good idea, but that the board embrace this. It's a starting point. It doesn't mean it's final. It's a living document that gets elaborated over time, but we need to be serious about what we're doing. And in addition to the committees and task forces we have, we need a development task force. I offer to serve on it. KPFT has taken a lot of steps in that direction. We drafted a strategic development plan when PNB first asked everybody to. It has a lot of these same elements in it. Let's get going.
Rico.
I don't really have a is my mic on?
Yeah.
I just wanted to commend you guys on your report. I was blown away by all three of you, completely blown away, and I didn't expect it. I mean, I've heard Sean speak before. Yesterday, I heard a little bit from you, but the three of you guys. Dan leaned over and said to me, "You see the way these guys are working together? If the PNB could work like that, what will we get done?" Oh my goodness! It was intelligent. It was visionary. It was doable, and I just commend you all.
Afia.
I also want to thank you for your report and to emphasize the point that Susan makes, and that is that it's a starting point. And it is most evident as a starting point when we look at the section on revitalizing national programming, which seems to be a significant part of your proposal. However, there is no participation by the affiliates program in the development of this proposal. Yet, you point out that the one object is developing a new nationally syndicated investigative news magazine that complements Democracy Now! When the fact of the matter is that the infrastructure that you have readily available for doing precisely that is the affiliates program, and the affiliates have not been included in the discussion and is not indicated in that distribution. So, excuse me, clearly.
Afia, that's time.
Okay.
I think the point was made. You know, you all can respond briefly, I think. It would be probably useful if you did. So if you want to, please do. To what everybody said so far, I didn't think to advise you of that before. You don't have to just listen. I can't read it. Could be Sean, yeah.
I've had my name misspelled so much I recognize it always. So, in fact, it's wrong here, folks, but that's okay. And these two questions you can answer very quickly, and they're only partially tongue-in-cheek. The first one is for Sean and Lim Lim. How much do you think fundraising will be affected since we don't have George Bush to kick around anymore?
Well, that's a great question. We've been talking about it constantly. I'll let Lem Lem answer for her shop. Our perspective is that with the new administration, we believe that the door has been cracked open a little bit for us to mobilize people to be part of this change. And during our fall, as you were, our winter fundraising campaign, we are kicking off the idea of, for KPFK, from 50 years of struggle towards 50 years of change. We've just now maybe seen the light at the end of the tunnel, where we can now begin to put things on the table that our constituents, our listeners, find important. And so the work has just begun. That the hand-wringing about the Bush administration and the awful administration that we've gone through for the last two terms, now we can actually maybe mobilize and get something done with this administration. We're at least hopeful.
Good.
Excuse me, George. I expected a response to my question, and that was how they were going to correct and include the affiliates programs. I'd like a response.
And if you let me finish my question, I'll be very happy to.
I thought that was clear. They chose not to respond just then. Perhaps they will later, Afia.
Very well.
Yes, Sean, finish.
Okay, yeah, and to Brian. Brian, I didn't get to thank you for the creative and inspired thinking that's going on up at Archives. And I was wondering if you would consider putting in an application for ED when we try to fill that position. You're too smart, huh?
Okay. Nia, you're next. And then, then Sherry. Nia?
I really got to. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you so much. This is a very good combination of leadership, and as, out of adversity comes opportunity. The adversity of us not having any money and the opportunity for you guys to actually come together under Sherry's leadership to do this. I really, really commend you on that, Sherry. It was absolutely wonderful, and I mean that sincerely. I just have two quick questions. Have all the PDs been consulted on the new shows?
I can't speak for the other shops. I've been speaking with Armando Gudino, our program director, on a regular basis about these ideas.
Okay. And the reception has been pretty good?
I believe so. Armando? Yep. Thumbs up.
Okay. Great. And the nationally recognized hosts, I'm just nosy. The nationally recognized hosts, have those been identified?
We've scratched the surface on that one. I think each shop is considering several possibilities.
Okay, but you guys were absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Also, I'd like to address Afia real quickly. The reason I didn't respond is I was acknowledging your concern, and I did speak to Ursula yesterday about this very issue, and we'll continue to work closely with her from this point.
Leslie.
Like everybody else here, I want to commend you guys. I am particularly impressed with the cooperation among the units. Communications is one of my great concerns, and you seem to have made tremendous strides in that direction. I have a couple of questions here that I just want to pose to you. You don't need to answer them now, but they may be worth considering. One is, I see the absence in this of what I would call a minor donor program. that involves both cultivation and recognition, particularly for younger and more diverse audiences that can be moved into the major donor category, frankly, as we age. Might include something like an e-folio or events or that activist access that you were talking about. I don't see a space in here for volunteers, and I think we need to work very strongly to develop our volunteer program. I would like to see this body talk about a policy for grants that make sure we aren't dependent on grants and continuing grants, and I think we need to come up with that for you guys. As far as the national programming goes, I would like to take a look at the cost involved in something like that, and I noticed the comparison to Democracy Now in particular. I'd like to suggest that Democracy Now is national because it's good. That's where its popularity came from. It's not good because it's national, and we need to be careful of looking at it from the wrong perspective. We have the audio port, and I don't see a single program there that's carried across the network. So considering we could have national programming right now if all the units agreed to it, I have some concerns about using our current programming for that.
Leslie, that's time.
Okay, thank you.
Did anyone want to respond?
I will take those answers later.
Okay. Joe.
Yeah, certainly what everybody said, in terms of the presentation, Lem, Brian, and Sean. And certainly it's a great point of departure, you know, going forward for discussions that we need to have. I just wanted to make maybe a suggestion. I have other comments. You can talk about those later. The KPFA Peace Awards is a great idea. And I don't know how it was much about how it's been conceived as a fundraising instrument. But, you know, each year when it happens, it occurs to me. Of course, I always hear about it after the fact. I never know about it before it happens. But it seems to me every time sort of a missed opportunity to maybe as an outreach tool to the community. Sort of if the Peace Awards were more public event, they would maybe get nominations from listeners about who could be a Peace Awardee for next year, or even the Pacific level. But, you know, maybe just something to think about in terms of how to optimize its potential as an outreach tool. And, you know, it would be nice to know about it as well as a board member before these things happen. Thanks.
Okay. Bonnie.
I just echo everyone that has been congratulating you, and thank you very, very much. I know how hard all of you, the amount of time that you put into this. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to pass for the rest of this.